Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Chris Miles here at the Chris Miles Money Show. So excited to have everybody on here today and excited to have our guest as well. You remember the Money Ripple show that we have here? It's all about how to free up cash, how to have more money today, how to have more wealth and freedom and a better quality of life right now. And the big purpose we have with Money Ripples, you know, with my company is it's all about creating that ripple effect through generations, through communities and countries, and even across the world. Because as you start to prosper yourself, others can be able to prosper as well. And so I'm super excited for this topic because this is talking about one of those ripples. We're talking about generations, right? We're talking about what do we do with our children? How do we help them prosper? I've got Tom Corley here. Tom, how you doing?
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me on your program. I appreciate it.
You bet. Now, let me introduce Tom just for a second because Tom – you know, remind me, Tom, what was the last book you had come out before Rich Kids?
Rich Habits.
Rich Habits, that's right. I know that's actually available on Amazon, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all over the place. It's become a pretty popular book. I got bestseller status like 3 or 4 times last year on Amazon, which is pretty cool.
That's amazing, too. I know I've seen some bestsellers go into action. It's definitely not an easy feat to do, that's for sure. It takes a lot of effort.
It takes a lot of effort, and I got a great team behind me. I mean, it's not just me, but, you know, my publicist, Lori Flacour, who you probably know, she's been just amazing, steering me in the right direction and keeping really importantly, keeping my head on straight and staying positive about this, because it is, Chris, about getting 3,000 rejections.
Oh, yeah. And I love Lori, too. For those of you that don't know who Lori is, Lori actually was the first TV interview I've ever done. I did her TV show almost 2 years ago. And just an amazing lady. And I know you give her special mention in your book. And the reality is like, you know, if you haven't heard of Tom yet, you probably will pretty quick. He's actually been featured in Success Magazine just recently, just did an article on this book, Rich Kids. And it's getting a lot of acclaim, a lot of great, you know, kind of fire is going with this because it really is timely. And working in the financial world myself, I can tell you so many people are all the time asking, oh my goodness, like, okay, this is great for me, but how about my kids? How do I teach my kids and get this to pass on beyond me? How do I create a legacy that goes beyond me? And Tom, that's exactly what you address here, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the whole reason I wrote Rich Kids is because what I went through as a kid, I started out, we were very wealthy, and then my dad lost his entire business in one night. I think I was 9 years old. So as a kid, it really affected me going from, rich to poor. I think it would have been a lot easier to deal with if we were just poor forever. because, you know, Chris, then you don't know what you don't have.
Right.
And when you go from rich to poor, and then you realize, my gosh, my life really stinks compared to the way it used to be.
Right.
So I wrote Rich Kids because I wanted to help them parents be able to mentor their kids in doing certain things that really successful parents have done in my research, and that enabled their kids to grow up and become multimillionaires.
That's awesome. And tell me, like, what first inspired you to do this one? I mean, obviously it sounds like you have that backstory, but, you know, why did you go from Rich Habits to then Rich Kids?
Well, I really was going back and forth, writing a lot and doing a little bit of battling with the media, particularly CNN, thanks to something that Dave Ramsey posted on his website that caught fire. And what I started seeing
– I'm curious, what was that post?
It was just 20 things that the wealthy people do every day.
And did you believe it?
And CNN took that and they spun it into Dave and I hate poor people. And, you know, I don't know how they got there, but they – you know, it's what they do. So then I said, you know, the real problem, I do know what the problem is and why there's a wealth gap and why so many are struggling in society. And it's, Chris, it boils down to parenting. Parents, I don't want to be critical and say they're not doing their job. they don't know what they should be doing.
Yeah.
They it's a generational cycle thing. So if you are poor and you your parents teach you, you pick up certain habits from your parents and from the environment you're in, but primarily from your parents. And those habits stay with you all through your adult life. And if those habits are poverty habits, as many of them are, then there's this generational cycle of poverty just perpetuates itself from one generation to the next. And that's why I wrote Rich Kids. I wanted to try and break that cycle.
Absolutely. Well, especially when we had the Depression era parents. I mean, it kind of passed on from generation to generation to the point where, you know, we're all saying things, and especially with 2007, what we had recently, you know, you have different belief systems and things that come out and really, even if you try to teach them well, I've noticed even the world around them, even my kids will come home from school and they'll say things like, you know, for example, I remember one time my kid was trying to talk us into something that I thought was completely a waste of time and money, right? And he said, was it because we can't afford it? And I said, no, absolutely not. We can afford it. I just don't prioritize it, you know. But I was like, who taught you that? Because we're anti saying you can't afford it, right?
Right.
We definitely don't like to talk that way in our home. It's like, no, we're going to talk about, you know, even if that's the case. And even with him, I said, great, well, how can we find the money? You know, how can we be able to get to the point where you could actually pay for your own deal since your mom and I don't want to pay for it at all? So,
right.
So what can you do? And, you know, much different mindset. But even the kids that talked to him, he was only in, I think, second or third grade when he said that. I said, where did you learn that from?
Boy, you know, it's what these kids pick up in their environment with other kids. And that's why parents need to be – they need to put up a stop sign when they see their kids exhibiting certain behaviors and certain bad habits. And I just don't think they do. I think, you know, you talk about the greatest generation, the post-World War II generation – that created the baby boomer generation.
And, right.
It seems like the baby boomer generation is just rolling out the red carpet for their kids, you know. I think it's like a cyclical thing. Their parents were raised in, you know, the Depression era. So they were passing along to them, they experienced something really horrific in their life.
Yeah.
And so they didn't want to spend any money. So, you know, it was going from one extreme to the next. And what Rich Kids is all about is finding that happy medium where you're teaching your kids certain good strategies and success habits like living below their means, saving 20% of their income, things like that.
Right. Absolutely. So what are some of those poverty habits that you feel hold the kids back? You know, what are some of those habits?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, one of the worst poverty habits that I've seen in the in my study, my 5-year study on the poor group was they don't read. They don't teach their kids to read. The parents don't read. The kids don't read. In the wealthy group, the parents were making their kids read 30 minutes or more every day. It was for self-education, self-improvement, learn about new things, new facts. Even a few of the parents in my rich group, they made their kids read and then write a one-page report. And then a couple of them even had put it in a binder. I ended up calling it the fact binder. You know, you learn new facts. And
yeah.
It was interesting that the wealthy just were so the parents who raised their kids to be wealthy, those were the ones that I was interviewing. They would say, you know, my parents just made us do this stuff. They made us read. They made us write these reports. They didn't allow us to watch TV. They turned off the TV. And they just made the kids do certain things. And this is where I got into a little bit of a debate with the media, because they don't like the idea of
turning them off,
forcing your kids to do anything.
Right.
And my argument was, it's the parents' responsibility to make their kids do what the kids don't want to do for their own good.
Right.
So I think there's just an ideology out there that says, you know, you let the kids explore new things and be themselves and find their own talents. And that's not how it works.
Interesting. Which, I know we're going to be asking that question later on, too, about finding those talents for sure. So, okay, awesome. So what are some other habits that are common that you find with most kids that's maybe even keeping them back? You mentioned obviously study and reading is a big one to help through that. What are some other things that maybe parents aren't doing or maybe they could be doing that would help in raising their kids?
Well, a lot of it is time management. And I think kids nowadays, Facebook has become a poverty habit, or Instagram has become a poverty habit. The kids are spending so much time watching YouTube videos, and a couple of hours could go by in a day, and you've accomplished nothing. Your kids have learned nothing. So it's the parents have to put up that mentor stop sign and say stop, stop with the internet, stop with the cell phone. And stop with watching YouTube and, the unicorn YouTube video. You put that down, stop that. The other thing is it's not just about, everything being learning and using your time. It's also about making sure that your kids are healthy. In my study, the individuals, the successful individuals, they exercise 30 minutes or more aerobically every day. And when I dug into that, it was interesting, Chris, because you would think, you say, well, how does aerobic activity have anything to do with wealth creation? Because that's the question I asked. Mm-hmm. And then I started studying neurology, neurogenesis, neuroplasticity.
Right.
boy, did I get a wake-up call on that. Aerobic exercise actually creates neurons. It actually makes your brain bigger.
Yeah.
And whether these wealthy people knew it or not, and I'll be honest with you, they didn't. They just were taught these good habits, these rich habits by their parents.
Yeah.
They exercised every day, and they were growing their brain, adding new neural pathways. The hippocampus, which is where the neurons are given birth to, they were increasing the number of neurons that were born, and they didn't even know why they were smarter and their brains were working faster. It had a lot to do with aerobic exercise. So the parents need to understand that if they want their kids to to grow neurons and to keep their neurons growing throughout their lives and become smarter and kind of release their genius, they've got to make sure their kids are exercising aerobically every single day.
Oh yeah, amen to that. Well, that's something they should be doing through adulthood, too.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole point, is when you teach these things to your kids as their kids and they become habits, then they take these habits with themselves, as adults. So, it's important that the parents have to be teaching these things. They have to make their kids do certain things because that forces it to become a habit. And then you don't have to force it anymore. Then the kids are adults and they're doing these things, and then they're scratching their head and they're saying, I don't know why I'm successful, but I am.
Yeah, I've noticed that with a lot of wealthy people too. A lot of them have no clue why they do it. When there's some people study it to the point where they say, oh yeah, so there's this secret and this secret and this secret, and most wealthy people are saying, whatever, I just do it.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Chris, that's the thing that I think I stumbled on the holy grail of success, because these daily habits, in my mind, are the reason why you're rich or you're poor. And what was interesting is none of the wealthy people really understood why they were rich. They just and to be honest, they didn't know that they were part of a study, so they weren't even sure that what the responses to the questions I was asking. They couldn't put two and two together and say, this is a study on the wealth and poverty. So right. They were just answering honestly. And what I found out is, boy, these wealthy people just, they did not understand why they were successful in life. And it's their habits. They were doing, when I compared the wealthy group to the poor group, my gosh, it was like a world of difference. It was, like Europe and North America. It was just such a big, vast ocean of difference between the two places. And So that's why I wrote Rich Habits, and that's why I wrote Rich Kids, is to get this information out there so parents can become mentors for the kids.
Right. Yeah. Tell us more about that group. How'd you do the study? How'd you get people together, and what were you doing?
Yeah. Just for your listeners, if they're interested, I posted the methodology on my blog on my website, richhabits.net, so they can go there. But essentially, what I did was I had this broad 20-question list, and I asked it to 200 – I stopped at 233 wealthy people, and I also stopped at 128 poor people. I asked them these 20 questions, and I gathered this information over a five-year period and was trying to identify what their behaviors were, their activities, their choices that they made, the way they think about things. I covered 288 data points that separate the rich from the poor. And it's really interesting to me because it was like a light bulb went off in my head. I said, my gosh, it's their behaviors, choices, their activities, the way they think, the things that they do every day. Basically, you know, what wealthy people do from the minute that they put their feet on the floor in the morning to the minute they put their head on the pillow, and the same with poor people. And it was just, to me, it became an obsession for me because I realized when I was doing this research, I had stumbled onto something that I didn't think anybody was really looking at. And I then started applying it way before I wrote the book, Rich Habits. I started applying it. I came up with a weight tracking schedule because I was a little heavy back in 07, and I lost about 40 pounds.
Wow.
Using that in about 9 months.
Wow.
Just from using the tracking schedule that I stumbled on in my research from another group of wealthy people. So a lot of these strategies, these weight loss strategies, these brain building strategies, these self-education strategies, they're the reason, they're habits, and they're the reason why the wealthy people are wealthy, and they're the reason why poor people are poor. It's you know, 87% of the wealthy were first-generation rich from my study. So it's just interesting, you know, that it has nothing to do with your circumstances. It has everything to do with changing your circumstances.
And how many of these people were business owners?
51%.
So about half.
Yeah. And I have some data on that. So that I also tracked quite a bit of information on that. Let me just see work. Let's see. 18% were like a CEO or a senior executive in their company, wherever they worked. Let's see here. There was 28% were professionals. 13% were salesmen. 51% were small business owners. So, you know, I tried to track as much as I could.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why such the largest group is small business owners is because you have wealthy people are successful because they have more control over their lives. They could make decisions, their decisions. They're not decisions that they have to pass along to somebody else. And what happens, Chris, is they learn through the school of hard knocks what not to do. And so, you know, when they're hitting their stride, it's usually in their 40s or 50s because they've learned so much by failing and making mistakes that they can use those mistakes to their advantage and become successful.
I heard from a business consultant once who said he'd worked with hundreds, if not thousands, of business professionals. He said the ambition of our 20s catches up with us in the 30s, but then we prosper in our 40s and 50s.
Yeah, it's a good point because I think it's all about the mistakes that you make.
Yeah.
They're like railroad tracks on the brain, especially if you're a small business, because when you make mistakes, it costs you time and money.
Right.
And clients and customers. And so, you learn, it's like scars. And, it's something that sticks with you forever.
So these habits were pretty unanimous with their parents, not only with the parents, but it seemed like with their kids too, huh?
Yeah, it was really what I came to the conclusion was that for the most part, these habits were picked up and learned from their parents. And even if they were born in a poor or middle class household, it didn't matter. The parents that taught these rich habits, their kids were the beneficiaries of, and they grew up to be wildly successful in life. And I just So I knew that then I was onto something big. It's and that's why I decided to write Rich Kids, because this is the kind of stuff that every parent should be teaching their kids if they want their kids to be successful in life.
Right.
If they don't care and they're just, you know, like I know some people in the study said, you know, I'll give my kids, you know, I'll raise them, I'll give them food and shelter, and you know, what they do with their life is up to them. And the wealthy people said, no, we're going to mold our children so that they have the life that we want them to have, which is a successful and happy life. So there's a difference really between the way poor people looked at, you know, raising their kids. And I wrote a great article on it. I called it Parents Raise Kids and Mentors Raise Millionaires. And it's really the truth. Parents who decide to take the responsibility to become success mentors to their kids and not just leave it up to their kids to be successful in life, their kids will grow up and they'll have a greater chance of being really successful in life.
That's brilliant. And not just successful, it sounds like happy too, correct?
Yeah, because, you know, what money does not buy happiness. In fact, happiness, there's a couple of studies on it, but we all have a happiness baseline. It represents about 50% of our happiness, overall happiness. The other 50% is 40% of it is our activities. The things that we do create happiness. Only 10% is circumstances. So if you're rich, you're 10% happier than a poor person. So that's why I incorporated in Rich Kids. It's not just about the money. You got to teach these kids how to engage in certain activities that will keep them happy for life.
Right. Brilliant. I love it. That's great. So here's kind of a final question I have for you. You talk in chapter 5 about how to help kids find their purpose. What are some ways that parents can actually go and help their kids find their purpose? Because you mentioned CNN, said, hey, you should be free with the kids. You should let them discover their talents. So you're obviously not saying you shouldn't do that, but you're saying you should do it a very different way. And what is that?
Yeah, I have finding your main purpose in life, Chris, is probably will make you the wealthiest you could possibly be, because it represents finding your passion in life. And when you find your passion, it unleashes all sorts of unleashes your genius. I like to say it unleashes your genius when you find your passion in life. So I have an exercise in the book, and basically what it involves is, sitting down with your kids and having them. It works best, by the way, if they're 14 or older.
Oh, right.
12 is pushing it, but they have to have some experiences in their life in order for this exercise to really have value to them. So you list in one column all of the things that ever made you happy in life, and then you highlight those things that involve some type of marketable skill that you can make money off of. And then you rank in a column 1 to 10, 1 being the thing that made you the happiest and 10 being the thing that made you the least happiest. And then in another column, you rank 1 to 10, the thing that the happiness skill that could make you the most money.
Right.
And so what you come up with, Chris, is at the end of this exercise, 4 or 5 items that represent potential main purpose in life. And then you help mentor your kids to pursue those 4 or 5 activities. 6 months is a good timetable. And if after 6 months of following one of those activities, your kid is not absolutely obsessed, then it's time to move on to the next thing. And this is kind of the way you explore different activities in life. And it's important because you never know until you explore something that's outside your comfort zone. You never know, Chris, if you've got some ability there.
Yeah.
So this is a great way for parents to find out if their kids have ability in areas they never even dreamed of.
That's great. That's great. So now do you teach them how to take them through that? Is that in your book or?
Yeah, it's in the book. It's I call it the main purpose exercise, but it's a real simple, fun thing. And, you know, another thing that I think I have in the book that I think is really cool is two things, really: writing a future letter, getting your kids to write a future letter to themselves. It's basically scripting their life. You go out 20 years and pretend that your kid, you have your kid pretend that he's 20 years older or she's 20 years older, and then they write about what their life is like and what the last 20 years have been like and what the things that they have, the house that they own, the car that they drive, the job that they have. And then the other thing is writing your have your kids write their obituary. It gives them really forces them to go into the future and see what they really want their legacy to be when they die. You know, what do they want people to think about them? And what all of this does, Chris, is it gets the imagination going. You know, kids have great imaginations. It also gets the reticular activating system, which is part of the limbic system. It toggles that on, and so now you're that whole RAS, the purpose of that is to identify. It opens and shuts the brain's door to certain information. So now you turn that RAS, the reticular activating system, on in your kids' brains. It's like turning on their genius gene. It's like flipping a switch and turning them into geniuses. They start to create goals. They start to see opportunities. And it's really incredible to see it happen. And I'm telling you, I've had readers that have told me that kids love the exercise and they just are so pumped up and motivated after doing it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's exciting. I'm excited to try that. I'm at almost 10 right now, but that sounds like a great, great tool to use. Yeah. So Tom, tell us. I know we're wrapping up the show right now, but tell the listeners here, like, how can they get your book, Rich Kids: How to Raise Our Children to Be Happy and Successful in Life? Where would they find that?
Well, they can find it wherever books are sold. A lot of people jump on Amazon and iTunes, but it's at richhabits.net, which is my website. You can go and buy the book there and all the downloads, the different versions of the ebooks. But what's really cool about richhabits.net is I put all my research articles on there. So it's really real time stuff. I'm posting articles on there right now on my future book, Rich Thinking. So as I do the research, I post it. And there's also free ebooks they can download and free reports they can download. There's a lot of really cool stuff on that website. And I also post a tip of the morning to you. So a lot of fun stuff on that site.
Excellent. That sounds great. Tom, it's been an absolute honor to have you on our show today. Absolute honor.
Well, thanks, Chris. I'm so glad we got together. And, let's not be strangers. I'd love to do this again.
Absolutely. Yeah. If there's anything in wealth, I mean, I say this from time to time, but, you know, no success in life cannot overcompensate for failure in the home, right? I mean, that's the big key is that, you know, what's going to be your legacy beyond you? How are you going to create wealth beyond just you and yourself and pass on to the next generation is such an important key factor here. And I love how you have that mission and you're driven, you're making that happen. So thank you so much. This has been very valuable for me and for our listeners too.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate it.
Well, everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. Again, this is Chris Miles Money Show. Be sure to make sure, if you haven't done so already, subscribe to us on iTunes. You know, check out the show, download some episodes, use this as part of your weekly education to be able to get more education, be able to get better at what you're doing day after day. So this is Chris Miles signing off. Everybody have a great and prosperous week.